Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you.
We are in the fourth message of a sermon series on last things, events that happened in the last week of our Lord's life in ministry. And if you have a Bible, let's read Mark 14, and let me just start there at verse 3. Well, let me back up. I'm sorry, Ellen. To verse 1. There's some background stuff there that we probably ought to see. And if you can, I know we've been up and down this morning, but let's honor God's word by standing to our feet. Mark 14, after 2 days, it was the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And the chief priests and the scribes sought how they might take him by trickery and put him to death. But they said, not during the feast, lest there be an uproar of the people. And being in Bethany at the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at the table, a woman came, having an alabaster flask of very costly oil of spikenard. Then she broke the flask and poured it on his head. Let's pray. Craig Nelson, ask God to bless the word, would you?
Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning on Monday. Lord, we just ask for forgiveness of our sins. Lord, we thank you for this beautiful, beautiful morning that you bring us and bless us this morning. Thank you, Lord, for the freedom we have to worship and serve you. We ask, Lord, that you be with Brother Cal this morning as he brings this message to us. Lord, help us take this message into this unchurched community of Christ. Thank you, Lord, we ask in your holy and righteous name.
Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. The setting for this event, and I've entitled the message, The Anointing at Bethany, Worship at its Best. The setting for this event took place on the top of the Mount of Olives in a little village called Bethany. And in the house of a man by the name of Simon, who had been healed of leprosy. And so Simon wanted to extend his gratitude and his thanksgiving to the Lord Jesus. And so what he did, which is what we do a lot of the time, he invited Jesus as the guest of honor to a dinner in his home. And some traditionalists believe that Simon the leper may have been the husband of Martha, or may even have been the father of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. And also, just a few days before this event, Jesus had raised Lazarus from the dead. What? I mean, what a commotion must have been going on that evening up in Bethany. I mean, they had somebody that had been dead 4 days, and Jesus raised him from the dead. And so Mary and Martha and Lazarus, they're all there at the house. Jesus is there at the house. And I think everybody and their dog was probably wanting to get into the house and talk to Lazarus. What was it like to be dead for 4 days? Are you glad you're here, or you wish you were still there? Well, what if, you know, folks, you got to ask questions when you're reading the Bible. And so, Just to put that in perspective, what if somebody in Clarksville had been dead 4 days and some preacher went out to the graveyard and said, come on up out of there. And he did. You think that'd be a stir? And so this meal is not only a Thanksgiving meal, it's a celebration meal. And everybody and their dog is in Bethany for, I mean, and the Bible even tells us that in John's gospel, that the Jewish leaders, the Pharisees, they're wanting to get rid of Lazarus too. Not just Jesus, they're wanting to get rid of Lazarus. Why? Yeah. Because they could, I mean, you couldn't refute the fact that Lazarus had been dead and Jesus raised him from the dead. And so it's in this atmosphere of celebration and thanksgiving that this wonderful anointing takes place. One of the greatest acts of worship and love and devotion that we've ever seen or heard of took place in Simon's house. Now, this act of worship that was given to the Lord Jesus by Mary was given to him when he needed it the most. The religious leaders were plotting to put Jesus to death. One of his own disciples, Judas, was making plans to betray him. He knew that Peter would deny him. He also knew all the disciples would run off and desert him in his greatest hour of need. And he understood about all the cruelty of the cross that was just before him. And so these were some dark hours in the last week. And my. And Mary gave him one of the greatest acts of love and devotion and worship that anyone's ever given him. Now, Mark's gospel tells us in verse 8, she has done what she could. She has come beforehand to anoint my body for burial. Mark's gospel and John's gospel reveal that Mary was there in the house and she knew Jesus was about to die and be buried. She understood what was happening. I don't believe anybody else got it to this point, but Mary got it. How did Mary understand that Jesus would die and would be buried and be raised from the dead? Because every time you see Mary, what's she doing? She's sitting at the feet of Jesus. And when you sit at the feet of Jesus, you learn some things. And that sitting at the feet is a Jewish idiom for learning. Learning. Can you imagine the things you would learn about the Lord if you're sitting at His feet? Well, that's how Mary understood. She used to sit at His feet every time we run across her in love and adoration. So I believe she understood. That's what John's trying to tell us, and that's what Mark's trying to tell us. She understood. She knew. How do we sit at the feet of Jesus today? How do we learn of Jesus today? Hello! Mary's sitting at His feet listening to His Word. And that's how we learn today. And so she saunters into the room and experiences and sees the sadness in her Lord's eyes. And she asks herself this question: what can I do to express my love for my Lord? How many of you ever heard of giving somebody their flowers before they die? That's what's going on here. Worship at its best. Let's look at this anointing at Bethany that took place. I want to say three things this morning about our worship. Our worship, first of all, should be expressed extravagantly. Look again at verse 3. Being in Bethany at the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at the table, who is he? That's Jesus. A woman came. Who is she? That's Mary. Came having an alabaster flask of very costly oil of spikenard. Then she broke the flask and poured it on his head. Now, Mary comes into the room. Jesus is reclining there at the table. In those days, they would recline on pillows around the table. And so Mary comes in, and she understands. She knows what's about to happen to the Lord. She gets it. And she wants to express her love and her devotion and her worship in an extravagant way for Him. And it dawns on her as she comes in. She wanted to give Him her best, and her best was hanging around her neck. She had an alabaster box that was full of some very, very expensive perfume. This perfume was probably imported from the Himalayan mountains, maybe in India or Syria. And the scriptures tell us that it was worth a year's let's just say a common laborer's, it was worth a year's worth of wages. How much money did you make this year? That's what she's got around her neck. It was the best that she had to give, a year's worth of wages. And John's gospel tells us, along with Mark's gospel, that when she came into the room and there's the Lord, it dawned on her, I'll give him the best thing I've got. And she did it right then. And she broke the seal on the flask and poured the oil out on his head and then poured it on his feet. And John's gospel tells us that she wiped his feet with her hair. And this act of worship, love and devotion, filled the whole house with a beautiful fragrance. I want you to, what an extravagant act of worship. She gave Jesus the best that she could give. And notice, she doesn't even count the cost. She doesn't calculate and try to figure out. She broke all the laws concerning practicality and common sense. She didn't get her checkbook out and say, now if I do this, here's what's left. No. She just gave the best that she had. And by the way, doesn't the Lord deserve that? She almost went overboard. Her worship was extravagant, almost to the point of being reckless. That's how true worship and true love operates. Hello? That's how true love and true worship operates. Has your worship of Jesus cost you anything? Have you done what you can do, like Mary, for the Lord Jesus? And you know, true worship and true love wants to give all that you can give, and then when you've given your all, it still isn't enough. Anybody understand what I'm talking about? I wish I could give more. I wish I could do more, right? And notice this. Mary does, she does this spot. She's walked into the room. She does it spontaneously. She didn't think a lot about it. She just did it. She gave him her very, very best. What if she had waited? Well, his body would never been wouldn't have been anointed for burial. Mary did what she could when she could. And you know what that says to me? You better do what you do for Jesus right now. Don't wait till tomorrow. Whatever you're going to do for the Lord, do it today. Do it today. Look at your neighbor and say, do it now. Don't wait. Some of you got somebody on your mind. Do it now. Some of you, God's told you to give. Give. Do it now. We don't know about, David, we don't know what's going to happen tonight, do we? I mean, do it now. Jesus tells us in his word that whenever you do something for someone else in my name, you've done it unto me. Whatever gift you give, whatever you do, whoever you serve, if you do it in the right spirit and the right attitude for God's glory, for the Lord, it's a great act of worship. I may have to pull this back up again, but here it is. I saw this Facebook post. Y'all, there's something good about Facebook every now and then. Listen to this. Yesterday morning, Brother Cal preached on the importance of serving others, spreading the word of God and giving back. Today, with an hour before I had to pick my son up from school, I stopped in City Thrift. I like finding treasures, photo props, and they have the best already worn in comfiest sweatshirts. Well, while I was standing in line to check out, I looked over and saw the sweetest family with a buggy full of little girl clothes, shoes, and newborn clothes. I walked over and introduced myself to Moses, Cynthia, and Sophia. I told them about the sermon I heard yesterday and how much Jesus loves them. I handed them a gift and told them to get their clothes and anything else that they may need. Cynthia placed Sophia on the floor, wrapped her arms around my neck, and cried. She was overflowing with graciousness as she wiped her tears off her cheeks. She then asked what church I go to. And I told her that there would always be a seat for the four of them if they ever wanted to come. She says, I don't know this family story, but we were meant to be in that store together. And although I helped them, they had no idea how much they helped me too. I didn't ask for their number, but I would love to keep in touch. So maybe this will reach them somehow and we can be friends forever. Hashtag live like Jesus. Hashtag serve. Hashtag give back. I was so proud of Grace Allen that day. What a great act of worship. When you've done it under the least of these, there they are. My brethren, you've done it unto me. God bless you. I tried to get her up here, but she said, you better wade through it because I won't be able to. But that's what we're talking about. That's what we're talking about this morning. This is the attitude of worship that we all need to have, and it needs to be expressed extravagantly. Let's give God some praise today. Secondly, our worship should be examined carefully. Whoo, look at this. Verse 4. But there were some who were indignant among themselves and said, why was this fragrant oil wasted? For it might have been sold for more than 300 denarii and given to the poor. And they criticized her sharply. John's gospel tells us that this storm of protest came from the disciples, but it was being led by Judas. Not the Pharisees. This came from the disciples, those who claimed to love the Lord the best. And the verb that's used here to rebuke her for her act of worship means to snort, to stomp. You ever seen a horse do that? Or to roar, like a lion. What a reckless waste of money. We could have used that money. We could have sold that oil, that perfume. What a waste. We could have given it to the poor. What a waste of money. A year's worth of wages down the drain. How ridiculous. How stupid. Now this came from the disciples. Not the Pharisees. Not the muckety mucks. Those who supposedly love the Lord the most were the first to criticize Mary's act of worship. You know, it is such a sad thing when you see God's people being so judgmental and critical. Amen? Amen. The pastor at the Pleasant View talked about this a little bit last night. Can I just tell you, I have come here today to tell you, nothing you do for Jesus is wasted. No amount of money that you spend on the Lord is wasted. None of it. Nothing is wasted when it's done for Jesus or given to Jesus. And by the way, nothing's too good for Him. One of our core values is excellence. Because whatever we do for the Lord, we want to give Him our best. We want to do our best. Amen? Anything we do for Jesus ought to be first class. Jesus deserves better than our leftovers. Is the Lord pleased with your worship today? I beseech you, therefore, my brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto Him, which is your reasonable act of worship. What's your worship look like this morning? And I guarantee you, some of you in here today, you really felt like getting your praise on, but you didn't because of what somebody else might think or say. Hello? You need to get over being Baptist. And you need to express your worship and all of your love and adoration for Him whenever He moves on your heart to do that. Give Him your best. I've been talking to Diana here for about 3 weeks. And I knew in my heart of hearts that we were supposed to send a check to somebody. She's been out of work because she's been taking care of her son. And so we agreed on a price. And I wrote the check out. And I called her. And I said, can we get an address from you? And she said, well, we've moved. We're in the hospital now. He's had to have another surgery and blah, 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 blah. And she said, I'll call you back. And she said, how did you know to call us? And I said, the Lord just laid it on my heart. She said, my son just asked about you. He said, wonder how Brother Cal's doing. I want to tell you folks, whatever you're going to do for the Lord, do it right now. Don't wait. Do it now. And do it in a way that's pleasing to Him. Oh, listen, our worship should be examined carefully. And I'm going to tell you what, if I see somebody in here getting their praise on, I'm just going to get with you. Our worship ought to be expressed extravagantly. Not, I got to get down to the restaurant. You know? Hello, y'all. Here's the third thing I want to say to you about our worship. Our worship should be extolled eternally. Look at verse 6. This is what Jesus said. Let her alone. Why do you trouble her? She's done a good work for me. For you have the poor with you always, and whenever you wish, you may do them good. But me, you don't have always. She's done what she could. She has come beforehand to anoint my body for burial. Assuredly, I say to you, wherever this gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done will also be told as a memorial to her. Mary's loving act of worship will last for all of eternity. You know, at the end of our Lord's life, that last week, man, He was encountering hatred and hostility, bitterness and badness. He was encountering treachery and tragedy. And Mary's act of worship, her act of love and devotion, when she anointed Him, it must have been like a bright, beautiful, shining ray of sunlight in some of the darkest hours of His life. And the Scripture says the whole house was filled with the fragrance of Mary's worship. And you know what I believe? I believe Jesus took that scent with Him. I believe you could smell that sweet offering in the Garden of Gethsemane. I believe you could smell that sweet offering, that aroma. I believe you could smell it at the high priest's house. I believe you could smell it in Pilate's hall. I believe you could even smell that sweet gift of Mary's worship. I believe you could smell it as Jesus stumbled down the streets of Jerusalem carrying that cross on His back. I believe you could even smell the aroma of that sweet gift. Amen. that act of worship at Calvary. And you can still smell it today. Smell it? Isn't it sweet? You see, whatever you do for Jesus is going to last for an eternity. And I don't know where you are today in your walk with God, but wherever and whenever an act of worship is expressed extravagantly, like Mary's gift, well, Jesus said, wherever the gospel is preached, this act of worship is going to be a memorial for her. What you do for Jesus will last an eternity. But I want to tell you, as great as this act of worship and as great as this gift was, this act of love and devotion, there was one greater than Mary's that took place just a few hours later. For 6 hours on Friday. Even as Mary had poured that perfume out on the Lord, Jesus poured out and shed His precious blood for you and me. What a gift of love. What an act of devotion. Why? Because we needed a Savior. We needed to be forgiven of our sin and have life abundant and life eternal. I don't know about you today, Second Mile, but as we approach Easter, I take that back. For the rest of my life, I'm going to give God my very best because He deserves it. He gave His best for me. And He gave His life for you. And He deserves worship at its best. Bow your heads with me. Father, I just thank You. Thank You for Jesus. He means everything to us. And Lord, it's only right. It's only right that we would give our best to Him. Forgive us, Lord, for seasons in our life when You didn't get our very best. But God, I'm to the point in my life, I want my worship of You, my gifts to You, my service to You, my living for You, I want it to be the best that I've ever given to You in these days. Oh God, help me. And help my brothers and sisters to be obedient to Your call on our lives today. You may be here today and you can't give God your best because you haven't given Him your life yet. You haven't turned and surrendered control of your life to Him. The Bible says if you'd be willing to turn from your sin and turn to Christ and receive His free gift of salvation as the only means of having your sins washed away, the Bible says He will receive you.
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.